A young man searched the mountains of Nepal in order to find a renowned holy man. Upon encountering the youth, the wise man inquired, "What can I do for you, young man?" The young seeker answered, "Sir, please explain God to me." Well, the holy man smiled broadly and said, "Young man, a God so easily explained is a God who should not be worshiped. If a God easily explained should not be worshiped, then we've got the right God." Appropriate words today for the celebration of the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity that we worship. In today's gospel, Jesus is finishing a lengthy conversation with Nicodemus. This Jewish leader of the day came to our Lord one evening, and he came with many questions. "Well, I want to believe that this intelligent, gifted teacher of his people sincerely wanted to know the Lord, not only what our Lord taught, but also wanted to know our Lord." Well, the best way to describe God might be to take the Lord at his word. When God calls out the name to Moses, it comes complete with the phrase, "a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity." Merciful, gracious, patient, and faithful and kind. That is the Lord Moses, the Lord of Moses' acquaintance. And no wonder Moses was anxious to keep God in his company during those long desert years. More Christians might seek the close companionship of God if they thought of the divine in less legal terms than the ultimate judge and jury. In the mystical tradition to which John the Evangelist was preaching and writing, God becomes more than a name and a litany of attributes. Our approach to the mystery of the Trinity is by keeping in mind that everything we have learned about God, we have learned through Jesus. Jesus is our point of entry into the unfathomable questions of who God is and who we are to be. So when Philip dares to voice his desire to see God face to face, Jesus tells him frankly that his wish had already been granted. Though Moses was favored with the divine name and companionship, the disciples knew the Holy Presence as a person with whom they shared the intimacy of their meals. And we who are disciples today are equally favored. Moses saw God's hand in the gift of manna. Jesus is the manna that we take and eat. God gave Moses water from a rock. Jesus is the living water that takes away our thirst. Moses lifted the bronze serpent in the desert to heal the people at God's command. Jesus is the healing authority of God, lifted up on the cross for the sake of a suffering world. Moses perceived the presence of God indwelling in the midst of the nation. We know that the Spirit of God dwells in us as we become temples of grace and blessing. Some fathers of the church approach the greatest of all mysteries as a circle dance, a to and fro of love energy, generative, eternal, dynamic, never-ending mutuality and trust. The renowned theologian Karl Rahner once lamented that if the church were to announce on cable TV that we no longer adhere to the Trinity, to the doctrine of the Trinity, many would simply say, "So what? So what?" Franciscan Father Richard Rohr added, "God created us in God's own image, and darn it, we've returned the favor." For some, the only Trinity they worship is me, myself, and I. Pope Francis said, "The self needs to be in a horizontal relationship with others and in a vertical relationship with God. In that way, our lives become Trinitarian, like that of God." And then the Holy Father continued, "Modern society follows the so-called I and I principle of unbridled individualism and the resulting consumerism." Talk about creating God in our own image. The formula for the initial greeting that I use at Mass today comes from the conclusion of St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians that we heard. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." We praise a God as a community of persons. All Christian prayer is Trinitarian. Communion with the Most Holy Trinity is a goal of Christian worship. All Christian worship is likewise an inexplicable mystery. So what do you find most unexplainable about God and the mystery of the Trinity? Sometimes it is good and more important to leave these unexplainable issues to the theologians. For most of us, it is enough to believe in our God who created us and who has lived with us in history and now lives with us in the church. It is enough to believe in the God whom we find animating the very depths of our being. One God experienced in such mysterious ways. And that should be enough for us to respond with love. And responding in love may be a little harder to do than to explain it all theologically. Well, the holy man of Nepal, whom we met at the beginning of this homily, told the young seeker that a God easily explained must not be worshiped. Well, that leaves our God as highly worshiped indeed. The Father and the Son are in an eternal dance that we call the Holy Spirit. So every time we gather to encounter this God in our assembly, in the Word, in the Eucharist, we join in that dance.